This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
It's a great day on the hilltop. Here we are, and we received some gifts today that I'm really excited about. And I actually have, I'm going to save that for later.
Hey, secret. But this gift that we're talking about, it is second time around.
Yes.
Because we got sent this amazing kombucha.
But you know what I noticed? I told her the first time that I had lost the letter, right? Do you know that this is cardboard letter this time?
So you can't lose
it. So I can't lose it.
We got sent by, say her name again, and her husband.
Annie Webster.
Look at this.
And her husband's name is, I think it's, let me see. I had it here. I read the letter, you see, and it's the most beautiful letter. Why am I not finding
it? Okay, don't worry about that. We'll find his name.
Can I get into the flaves?
Last year, we got sent just this box of kombucha because Annie is a THM, and she's just talked about how it had changed her life. And she's like, hey, I just want to send you this kombucha my husband and I make. We started this company. But Serene never read the letter, so we got sent kombucha, and her and her children drank it all.
We just thought it was a Christmas. We get lots of Christmas gifts as a company. And then I found the letter. And read it and realized I was meant to do this on the potty.
Well,
I
mean, she wanted Danny, because Danny.
But she was like, it was a thank you to us. And she was like, and by the way, if you love it, you know, if you drink it on the potty, then maybe some people can hear about it and everything. But she was so touched by What If You Could, Dan, your whole thug life and all of that thug life to famous life and
some
everything.
Some consider a myth.
And if I don't mind, you know, just bragging on us, she was touched too. She really started to love the John and the Leslie Pops and everything. And she considered us, apparently according to this letters, like encouraging aunties. She said that.
Oh, we're encouraging aunties.
Yes. That she feels. Yes.
She's young.
That she
Where
feels
is she?
Like. Here's a beautiful picture. She's lost 30 pounds. She didn't have much to lose. She's a trim bin, but she lost 30 pounds and kept it off. And she was encouraged, Pearl, about your whole story about Meadow, because she had PCOS and she was able to get pregnant on the THM plan. And then she was encouraged with my testimony about the miscarriages, because she lost a baby 25 weeks and she listened to that party. And it just really had, she's really been blessed by the whole party. And so she wanted to gift us this box, second time around now, but their brand name is called Thrive Brew Kombucha Company, and it's out of Lexington, Kentucky.
It's not far away.
But I tell you what, it's amazing.
Well, I would like to try it.
Because they're organically sourced, and they undergo an actual fermentation process, which ends up with the very low sugar and very bubbly, very fresh kombucha. Do you know that a lot of kombucha doesn't go through the actual real fermentation
process? I didn't know that.
Your John will get on board on that. No, a lot of times they just start out with carbonated water, and then they'll just put the bugs in, but it's not actually gone through the traditional. This has gone through the traditional and the traditional method. But one thing I love about it is because this is a THM family here.
Yeah.
And this is their family business, and it's thriving.
What flavor do you want? That's the question.
The flavors that they sent us, not the Christmas we just had, but the Christmas before. It's so terrible. That's how long it's been.
About a year old.
I only got one taste because we were in a hurry that party, and you said, oh, here's some kombucha. Before the party, and I was like, okay, thanks. I had a taste, and I'm like, that's good.
Oh,
it was a Christmas
box.
Flavor.
So I don't remember.
Amazing.
Hey, what have we got? I like gingery stuff.
Okay, look. We have...
Yeah, point us over one, Dan.
We have blush, which is strawberry, pineapple, and vanilla.
Okay.
We have RLG, raspberry, lemon, ginger, baby.
Oh, yeah, that's for me.
Yeah?
Yeah, what you got for me, Dan?
We also have...
And you know what? John's a total... connoisseur of kombucha.
Point it out to everybody here and let us all taste the flavors.
Kentucky Mule, ginger, lime, and mint.
Oh, that's me.
And finally, mint. Butterfly.
Oh, no, I'm a butterfly.
Lemon, lavender, and pea blossom.
Oh, that's me.
I can't do lavender.
Yeah,
that's like
me.
It's too girly? Are you going to turn
into
a woman?
No, it's like I'm drinking a car.
Pass one over to John, because he's sovereign and he knows the taste of a real kombucha. Thrive Brew Kombucha,
amazing.
Guys. Remember that name. Thrive. And remember.
Anybody? Who else?
They're not paying us.
Who else?
They're not. But I'm just
blush.
Saying. I like something, guys.
Exactly.
Talk about it.
That's
they're
what
not
I'm saying.
Us.
Just
nothing.
What
I'm
not
got,
saying.
Ginger, lime, mint.
I'm not.
You want.
You got me wrong.
You want
I was
Kentucky
trying to
Mule,
say. We're just doing
blush,
this to be family.
Oh, yeah. We're
lavender.
Just doing this to be family. This is our THM listeners here that have made this awesome company. And I'm telling you what.
I can't get up.
It's brilliant.
Here, pass around.
Okay, we're passing around to our filming guys now.
You know, though, on THM, this is THM approved, because a lot of kombuchas aren't. their sugars aren't broken down, and you can read at the back, and they still have so many carbohydrates. This is a low sugar kombucha.
Yum.
Mm. So I love it. Sovereign John.
He's nodding
his
head.
I want words from him on it. Can he come to the mic, Danny's mic? Because
Sovereign John, do you make your own kombucha, John? I mean, you have in the past, of course, but you buy certain brands only.
Yeah.
That's so good. Mm, so good.
Yeah. No, I do make my own quite often.
Yes.
No, this is
hey,
very,
but
very
you're
good.
Not close
get close,
enough.
John.
This is... If I get any closer, Danny and I are going to start dating.
Taste yours. We have a switcher.
There we go.
Feel that.
No, this is good. What I really like about it is it doesn't have... A lot of kombucha will have that aftertaste because of the, the vinegar, apple cider type stuff that's going on in there. No, this is really, really good. Well done.
Yeah, it's well done.
Well done. What was the brewery again?
It's
Thrive.
Thrive Brew.
You can order it online.
Lexington. Yeah, I've actually seen this before.
Is it in stores though?
I've seen this. Where did I see? Because I shop in some weird places.
Oh
sometimes.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I think I don't know.
Well, you know that this is crushable kombucha, so it's in a can.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. It's brewers with intention. We craft clean, crushable kombucha to nourish you to thrive. Crack open this refreshing kombucha and let the good times roll. Cheers. I'm telling you. And it's organic too, guys. I love that. What do you think, Arden? What flavor did you get?
You know what? I'm looking at this now because she heard the potty where we said... You realize that you were supposed to read it out. She said, Serene, I instantly wept when I heard you begin your tale about the Christmas kombucha you received. I'm so grateful to you for taking a moment on the potty to share about your appreciation for the product, as well as the letter I included that you never got.
Well, I did get it in the end, and then I lost it, and then I couldn't.
To both Pearl and Serene, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to send you more kombucha and considering to promote us. I truly was on cloud nine all afternoon, evening. Oh, so precious. Hey,
so what did you get? We've got some other camera crew here. JD, what did you get? Oh, what do you think, mate? What's your words?
Yeah, Serene, they cannot hear them on the...
I'll repeat it. What are your words, JD?
What are your words?
Yeah, he's a good...
Now repeat it.
Yeah, he said it's good, but he said it's good.
Because he got an accent.
One more. Prof, our cousin Ben's here. What you think of your... What flavor did you get?
I got the lavender.
Oh, you got the lavender.
A-okay, amazing.
He said A-OK, amazing.
Hey, so we got a little bit of meat to shear hair today.
What's up with your accent to shear hair today?
One question. Did you have coffee before you came here?
No, but I did take a shot of my good bioidentical hormones.
Oh, okay. Whatever you do, don't do it right before the potty. Do it afterwards or something. So how you always say, well, Pearl, I don't have a teleprompter and I have a little bit of meat and it's not even charred and it has to be dissected and all of that. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've got. But while you were away, Serene, in Scotland and... I was kind of just doing my own thing, as I do. You got me into strength training, right? So Serena and I lift heavy.
You broke
we
the
lift,
fourth seal.
Yeah, did you
we
look
lift,
at the
I want to look at my peeps for a minute. Just mind your own business for a second, Danny. Okay? Serena and I lift heavy, and I want you to look at me right now. And you'd probably think she's a puny little thing. She doesn't look like she lifts nothing. So that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about doing the things that you stink at.
That was it, though?
Yeah, I might turn back later. I'm just keeping it
Danny
open
has to be
right
on
now.
His toes for the rest of this whole party
it's
now.
Just was it
not
worth it for
10
seconds?
Happen.
I mean, I can see a full monologue.
I want you to... I'm looking at you again. I want you to look at Serene.
I don't even do a lot of upper body lifting, girl.
I want you to look at Serene. People see Serene on the party. They see her on pictures and like, oh, man, Serene's
arm. I don't have guns.
She's
I do
so
not
built.
Have guns. I'm not
okay, but
built.
You look like you lift. You
I'm
look,
not. Look I
like
I'm not, I
you
don't.
Lift.
No, I don't.
I don't.
Do not.
Okay.
It's fine.
I don't.
It's fine.
But I do lift. Now, I have an ectomorphic body. Ectomorph.
Is that like me?
I'm a pure ectomorph. Probably you're a male version of an ectomorph. An ectomorph is you have very tiny bones, small frame, and very little muscle mass. I think I was one of those people that were born without enough muscle. I was week of my life. I'd never had dense muscle. My body just didn't.
When we were all running track, Pearl was laying on the couch. We called her Princess Pearly, and she would be. She was the dreamer.
That's because my body didn't want to do things. It just didn't have mass. It didn't. It wasn't athletic. I was the last person picked for any team. It was really sad when I was in school growing up in Australia, because Australians, and we've got some Australians listening, they can be ruthless at school, right? So I was the little weak kid, kind of skinny, kind of.
Do you notice how behaved I'm being?
Yeah.
I'm listening to you.
Thank you.
Apparently I'm a pre-pubescent show host.
You are.
But Danny here is like making around the faces. Room making faces, like getting everybody to show their guns, like all
but
the
cameramen. But it's okay. Just hear me out. So I'm telling my story. Got into adulthood, I did start exercising, but it was never lifting weights. It was always kind of like cardio, a little bit of a body toning. I was always into strength training, just using my own body. And I got pretty good at that. I mean, we developed the work-ins, and you would use the kettlebell, Serene, and you would use some weights and things. And I would just use at the most a band or little 2 to 3 pound cans, you know, because I thought, well, that's just me. I don't lift heavy. Then I got into perimenopause. I noticed my muscles wasting even more. Even though I was good cardio fit, I could walk miles. You know, I didn't kind of get out of breath. I could do lots of rebounding sessions. But I noticed my strength fading. And then as I got into postmenopause and all my hormones tanked, I lost quite extreme amounts of muscle mass. I think all women lose muscle mass at the time. But because of my particular body, it went fast.
Men do.
Yeah. I noticed my glutes especially. I always kind of had, even though I'm an ectomorph, I had kind of good glutes, and they were flattening, and that wasn't nice because you don't look good in your jeans when your glutes flatten, right? And I remember I gave my daughter Autumn an arm wrestle, and it used to be that, you know, she was always stronger than me, but I could hold on for about 5 to 10 seconds, and it was postmenopause, and she gave me an arm wrestle, and it was just like this, smash. I mean, I couldn't even hold her there. So I'd lost this muscle mass, and then I realized it. Okay, Pearl, whatever you had started with, which was very little, is gone. And so I started researching about, actually when I went to this doctor, this bioidentical hormone doctor, because I realized, well, I needed to get my hormones back. I tell the story in our book, Trim Healthy Wisdom, that's coming out. He looked at me and we went over my blood work. And apart from having low hormones, you know, my blood work was, I was so proud of my blood work. I thought, oh, my inflammation markers were low. You know, I had great red blood cells. Well, everything looked really good, and I was kind of proud of myself. But he didn't look impressed with me. And he's like, you're very thin, Pearl. And I thought, well, yeah, I'm thin. I eat great, you know. And he's like, no, you're very thin. And he wasn't happy. And he's like, you have low muscle. And do you know what your highest risk of dying is? And I thought, you know, breast cancer probably. And he's like, no, it's not breast cancer if you're thinking it is. It is you breaking a hip. It is you falling and then getting another complication because of the hip break. And it is you dying early because you don't have enough muscle, and you need muscle if you're going to keep your bone. And I thought, oh, he's rude. You know, he's rude. But what a wake up call. And I went home and I started studying, you know, the loss of muscle mass. And Serene was already starting to really get into contending for muscle. I just started studying, and I said to Serene, you're right. I have to get my muscle back. And how do I do it? And so, you know, Serene helped me, but I just started right where I was, and I started lifting. I couldn't lift much. I mean, I was weak. But over time, I got to a place where I, as puny as I look, I'm a heavy lifter now. I've been doing this for a little over a year. I have grown muscle. I probably don't look like it to you, but we're all on a unique journey, you know, and Serene is Serene, and I am who I am, and I'm just working with the body that I've got, and I'm not there yet. But I want to say we should do the things we stink at, because I kind of was the person that was the least inclined to be good at lifting weights. I'm just like the worst contender for it, picked last on the team. And yet if I didn't, because I said, I would say, well, I'm not good at that. You know, I hate to think what would have been my future.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
Do you think you could beat Serene at arm wrestling?
No. She's been lifting too, so whatever strength she has, she'll always be better than me. Like, she'll always be stronger than me, but I'm not Serene, I'm Pearl, so I'm just being the strongest Pearl I can be.
It's so interesting, though, Pearl, because you're saying you were the last pick for the team, you were the worst contender for this. But this is your subject. Like, when I find you sitting in a corner with a group of women,
yeah,
you know, maybe at a baby shower or after church or somewhere, you're always talking about telling them how to lift weights.
I know, and I look telling so stupid.
No, you don't. But it's so beautiful to me because this has become your anthem, and I love it.
Well, and this is what I want to bring. It's like an analogy, you know. For Serena and I, we grew up, we're third generation crunchy, okay? So our grandmother before us and then our mom, they were the ones reading the health books before anyone else. We didn't have white bread in our house. We didn't have sugar in our house. So eating healthy for us is just, it's like a natural instinct. Third generation, Arden sitting right here, Serene's son, is fourth generation. He eats healthy. It's just natural to him. But so many of you listening right now, it's not natural to you. And I've heard that you stink at it. I've heard, I hate cooking. I hate doing all this healthy stuff. And you know,
I hate stevia. I hate vegetables.
Yeah, I've heard all these things. Who jolly cares? You can cry the anthem for it. You can end up teaching others about it. You might not look like yet the way you think the healthiest person should. I don't look like a lifter. And yet I go around telling people, you got to lift,
you're
man.
You're a lifting coach.
You got to lift. And I teach them how to form and
she
stuff.
She gets on the bro sites, yeah. You know.
I'm like she starts talking the ASS talk. I'm trying to teach them form. Oh, that's not enough rep. No, you're doing too many reps. No, it's you got to be between 10 and 15, you know. No,
hypertrophy.
Like I know stuff. I kind of do, but I've gained a lot. But I'm not there yet. But I want to herald the anthem. Because of what it's done in my life, let me tell you what lifting weights to contend for muscle has done.
But before you do that,
yeah,
I want to just say the anthem is go out and do what you stink at.
Yes. Yeah, because
it doesn't have to be
so
lifting weights,
people,
even though we think it should be your anthem too. But if you stink at something, that's not a good reason not to do it.
Okay, I'll tell you the people though. The people that are on Instagram, okay, and that have the big workout programs, you know, like the glute guy and all these women and they're lifting people and they teach others to do it. Mark my words.
Mark me.
And Serene, you could have been one of them, and you kind of are. I mean, you created the workout program. You're naturally inclined to it. Your body responds to it. You look good. It's kind of easy for you,
like,
even though you have to train.
It's not. It's not because I'm like tall, drink of water. I'm not really built for it like some.
No, not
some
like
people
some.
Are really,
some
they
just
can
muscle up quickly, but I'm not even talking that. We're not talking about being bodybuilders or incredible hulks. That's not even what we want. But you do respond well to exercise, and you're kind of a beast, you know. And so those sorts of people, they're the ones heralding it, you know, like Serena and I are heralding healthy eating because we're good at it. Okay, so then, but the ones that aren't good sometimes feel so, it will never be me. Like, I had those thoughts. Look at me. I'm not made for that kind of stuff. I'm just not. You know, I just keep to cardio. That's kind of all I can do because I'm so weak that just lifting small amounts of pounds just, and what I saw other people do, and I couldn't do that. I just felt so pathetic and that my journey was not up to snuff, and maybe I should give up because I'm not seeing results others are seeing. You
I
know?
Love it how you just got in the car though. You just got in the car, like I'm talking analogy here, and you just started down the road.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't really get all freaked out about the end of the journey, meaning, you know, you were comfortable with bands, mm-hmm. but you got in the car and you went to Amazon and you like you ordered your 15 pound dumbbell.
That was my first,
okay, your
weight,
15
pound
dumbbell.
Dumbbells.
And you didn't think, oh, I got to go out and get me the big bar
no,
for my back.
I'm still not
and
doing
the squat
a bar.
Rack,
no,
right?
Yeah.
No, but that's beautiful. You just got in the car. You started where you could. And I love that because, Pearl, you know that that's coming for you, that big bar.
Yeah, I know.
It's you're going to be driving right underneath that thing really soon because once you just start and then the hobby and the passion, it takes root and it just –
Do you have a squat rack, Serene?
Oh, she's been squatting.
You've got some gear.
She's a beast in the gym.
Do we have a
picture?
No,
I'm actually not a beast. And I'll tell you why. I think my body is not built, you know, with that. I'm not talking wide as in lots of excess weight, but some of the people more prone woman to be able to carry heavy weight on their back to really lift. Yeah. They have a little bit more of a better grounded foundation. Yeah. They have a little wider
hips. Shorter too.
And they're a little wider shoulders and a little short. And so that they can really handle that weight. I mean, I'm almost 6 feet, like a couple of millimeters shy. And I find that for me, I can't go as heavy as some of those women, even though I've been training for a long time. But it's heavy for me and I respond to it, whatever I put on my back.
Like you have a dedicated workout room?
Oh, massive.
Her gym is beautiful.
I need
we have to film it sometime.
Well, it's messy and not finished, but yeah.
Hey, that's where the work gets done.
But all of that to say, I was going to say what this has given me. You know, and I'll tell you where I'm up to. I hope in a year that when I look back at this party and hear what I'm doing now, I'll think, oh, Pearl, you know, you were proud of this. Come on. And now I'll be
What are you working out with
right now? So I work out with free weights.
Okay.
And I can do hip thrust, 100 pounds. I put that on my hip.
That's where you lay down and, twist or push up?
I do 30 to 35 RDLs, which are, what are they called? Romanian deadlifts in each hand.
Yeah.
So that's...
What's that motion? Show me the motion.
60 to 70.
What does that look like?
Stand up and you because the camera won't get me all. And then you're standing up and then you drop your weights here and then you pull them up against your body.
Deadlift.
But I just do them with free weights. She does them with a bar and things like that. My arms are still pretty weak, but I've gained strength in my arms. I started with 8 pounders and now I'm up to 15.
I can do
over 20 male push-ups. I'm over 15 now with my, you know, those sorts of things. When I started, I was just so weak, but I'm so proud of myself. I just love this journey. I love it because what I feel. So when you gain muscle mass, you gain metabolism because muscle is our metabolic tissue, right? And so I love, because I'm a volume eater, I love to eat and I can eat more because when you have little muscle, your muscle doesn't really take in much fuel. So for me, that's one of my favorite things about gaining back my muscle mass because my thyroid's optimized, my sex hormones are optimized with hormones, but the missing piece was getting my muscle back. And so once I've done that, you know, I don't have to be like a beast with food, but I can eat a good large meal and burn it really
Your
well.
Your working out allows you more volume.
Absolutely.
Which is what
because muscle is metabolic tissue.
Yeah.
It's your insulin sensitivity.
So when I was at post-menopause and I'd lost my muscle mass, my meals had to get smaller and smaller or else I was gaining weight, as healthy as I was eating.
Have your meals changed since you've started working out more
seriously?
Yeah,
I mean, I would say that I just eat more food.
Okay.
On the whole, I still eat all my veg. I still have my good protein. I can eat more carbs, I think, and do really well because with more muscle mass, you better respond to the glucose.
Yeah.
And the more you lift and the more weight you put in there on the bar and stuff, I think the more you can eat and the more your food does change.
Have you intentionally increased your protein or not paid attention?
I mean, because I have increased my protein, but I mean, I never eat huge amounts of meat. I do 4 to 6 ounces, but then I do use essential amino acids. And, you know, we're coming out with that of our own ones
soon.
And you
do optimized plant protein.
You do
4 to 5 protein fuelings a day.
Oh, absolutely. You have to when you lift.
Yeah.
But apart from that, okay, what have I found? I love the way I look. I'm sorry, that sounds so proud. I'm not trying to say that came out wrong. I love the way my body has changed.
Totally
fine.
Look. I feel stronger when my shoulders are straighter when I stand in the mirror.
That's what I was going to ask you. Do you love just walking around your kitchen?
Yeah.
The strength you feel just in your posture.
Yeah. I wanted to used to go like this, and I'd have to be like this all the time because I didn't think I had enough muscle mass in my back to keep me strong. And now sometimes I just walk around my house and I feel the strength inside me. It's like the centering feeling.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I feel all sorts of... not conceited thoughts, but just proud thoughts of what I'm
flourishing thoughts. I feel like we're meant to feel
strong in my center.
No balance needed.
And it's, I've put on some pounds, but the muscle, I haven't really put on fat.
Don't you think as God's creation, we're meant to walk around, not with pride, but in a feeling good in the tents that he designed for us. Like, okay, I see why you designed these muscles and they hold me up well, and thank you, Father.
Yes. We should walk upright in this world, even physically.
Yeah, and I tell you what, when I went through postmenopause and like I kept my, because I could tweak all the food and do all the things, I didn't gain a bunch of weight because I had the knowledge to kind of do it with food. But my jeans were fitting me differently, as I said. They were like baggy around the glute area, which wasn't nice, and tighter around my middle. So I was gaining a thickening middle, and yet my kind of thighs and glutes were shrinking, which is not a good sign. So once I've started developing more muscle in those areas, I feel like my waist is back to my 20-something-year-old self. And then I'm gaining some good amount. This takes time to gain muscle. It really takes a lot of time. Especially if you're a woman like me. I mean, I gain muscle so slowly.
But the beautiful thing is,
but I have.
You're not gaining it for some like reunion, high school reunion.
Yeah.
You're thinking for the long haul. You've got like, I've got 120 years here, hopefully. Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, this is for the long haul. This is a sustainable approach. So if something gets in the way, say you something happens, you go away, you're not going to feel like, oh, you know, I didn't do the 60-day challenge. It's not about that.
I haven't been able to work out for 2 weeks, and I hate that because we're doing some vein treatments.
So the
and
slow build is fine.
But
right?
The other thing that I really did this for, as you know, the doctor said, Pearl, you are at such high risk for bone mineral loss and breaking your bones. So as a tall, thin, white woman, which I am, we are at the highest for breaking bones. Like my mom, who's built, and my sister Vange, built like us, like tall, kind of thin, both broke their shoulders. Terrible, terrible breaks. Yeah. Took a year each to recover from. You know, I'm not saying I can never have an accident, break a bone. Even young people break bones. But when you're postmenopausal, or when, you know, you're kind of losing muscle mass, I was at such high risk. And I haven't had a bone density scan. The reason is because I'm doing all the things that that they would tell me to do anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't need to know that. All I know is that I'm putting my bone density back in. Because what are the things? What are the things that a female body requires for bone density? It requires stimulus, weight on the bones for them to mineralize. So you got to do weight training.
And it requires muscle.
Requires muscle. You got to get that. But it requires your protein. You can't build your muscle without your protein. But it also requires your hormones.
Yeah.
So if you're not going to go on bioidentical hormones, you can still actually make some progress with just strength training and protein, good protein diet alone. But for people like me who are at high risk, you know, I knew I had to do all three.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm doing. So I feel stronger. I feel like I look stronger, even though I started this whole party off saying, look at me, I'm puny. Okay, but. And so this was just a way, I hope, to inspire you to say, if you feel like, you know, this whole eating thing, but I'm just not good at it. You can end up being the herald. You can be the one helping others. Mm. You can be the one with the story, with the epic turnaround.
Because and it doesn't matter if it's slow going.
It doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter if there's bumps in the way. I mean, when I first started lifting, Serene, you know, I did a, God blitz squat. Mm-hmm. And I was just starting to get good. I was like 3 months in. I thought, I'm going to hold this 30 pounds and do a goblet squat. And I got down into the middle of the squat and my back just pulled the lumbar. And I was on and I couldn't get up.
She was crawling.
So painful. On the ground for the rest of the afternoon. Couldn't even get up to the couch.
Talk about the rest of the week. You were like crab crawling.
Oh, yeah. The rest of the week I was out. Couldn't go back to lifting for like a month. Real, I mean, so I've done a lot of dumb things. My form was bad and I went too fast and too heavy and my body wasn't ready for it. Like, beginner mistake.
That was like day one, though?
No. That was 3 months in.
3 months in?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not like you were reckless. But she went from a 15.
She went through 15-pound dumbbells to 30.
And I thought, I'm ready for 30.
You jump in 2-pound increments or something like that when you're starting.
Okay, so when you're ecto.
I was too excited.
When you're an ecto. And, you know, you're 3 months in. That's still just getting started. Oh, yeah. Right?
Actually, they say I'm still considered a beginner because they say anyone in the lifting world, if you're not at the 2-year mark, you're a beginner.
That's really important to know. I think my brother, he was a triathlete for many years. And I was like, man, I'm gonna run tomorrow. Remember when I first started running, the New Jersey story? That was around that time. And I was like, I'm so stoked. I'm going to get into this and start running. And he was like, man, day one, he's like, you really need to just walk.
Right.
Like, don't run at all. Just get your body move. Because, you know, you walk, to your kitchen, you walk to your car, but you don't, like, properly walk for exercise. So you need to, first of all, walk. And I didn't listen to him. And I pulled a hammy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I couldn't walk for like 3 days.
And it's, and that can put you off the whole thing, right? But it's the excitement of doing something, and then you get just too gung-ho, and then you learn your lesson. But as long as it doesn't put you off the entire journey, I just knew I was going to get back to it. And I did. And now I'm beyond that 30-pound goblet squat. You know, I can do a 35-pound goblet squat. Yeah, go me. But it took a long time to get back there. I'm only just getting where I passed, you know, that mistake weight amount, and it's taken over a year.
Are you doing work-ins, or is this
No, I started with our work-ins. Like I said, you know, our work-ins were just body weight movement mostly for me, which I kind of got good at.
Yeah.
But then I said...
For new peeps in the room, that's our exercise plan that we've designed, and you can buy it off.
And it's really brilliant for restoring a core. I mean, my core was very intact thanks to work-ins.
If people are not used to exercise or are not fit, they should start with work-ins, definitely.
Yeah, so then I said, okay, no more of this just bands business. I'm going to be like Serena. I'm going to get a kettlebell and start working with that and the work-ins. So I did that, and then I progressed. So I started to do, because you know, like Serena, I'm not into a bar yet, although I'm heading that way, building a gym in my house. So I started to do Carolyn Gervin. She has free workouts. Her iron series are the ones I like because they're just free weights. And the half an hour, they're very intense. I start off with light weights. But now I do my own thing. I've developed my own program. Serena and I are both going to be recording our sessions, our lifting heavy sessions. And mine's going to be 25 minutes because I don't like working out over 25 minutes to half an hour. It's just not my thing to do longer. And you love longer, so you do 45 minutes. So, you know, you'll be able to change between Serena and my workouts. We've developed our
intense,
own program.
You see, mine are just long and
no,
slow.
No, yours are as intense.
No, but
they are.
They're not Carolyn Gervin style, which is more not many rests in between. Yeah. I like to lift heavy and then have that rest.
No, but mine is in between hers and yours. Because Carolyn Gervin only rests for 30 seconds. I need longer than that.
Yeah.
So I do lift a bit heavier than I did in her one. And I have more rest. I find it's better on my adrenals. Mm-hmm. You know, because if you're doing a heavy lifting session and it's so exhausting for you that it's more like a HIIT session where you know, your heart rate is really high and you're not recovering well, that's not good for our cortisol. So no. I realized for me I needed to slow it down in certain... Yeah. You taught me that.
To me, it's just like a spa moment for me. It's just so enjoyable. Yes, I lift heavy and in the mode, it's really wonderfully difficult. But then you get that rest. It's like in labor. You get the contractions and then you get your rest, you know?
When do you do your workouts?
Life happens. So sometimes it changes. But Pearl and I have designed our life around because we work from out of our home for the most part. So we've just designed that we don't do meetings until 1 o'clock. So 10 to 10:30 is our little spot that we start.
I want to talk more about times, but now a word from ourselves.
Trim Healthy Mama, product news and notes.
We're going to talk about the Trim Healthy pizza crust mix.
Yeah, and Danny, we were saying this is actually something that you could manage, right?
It makes fast work for homemade
pizza. You know how
crust.
We have drive-through Sue?
Yeah.
What are you, a drive-through dude?
I tell you what, this, can you imagine
drive-through
people?
Drive-through brew.
People, imagine a pizza crust that's actually healthy. I mean, most packaged mixes or pre-made pizza crusts are filled with shisty stuff.
Yeah.
Not ours.
Even
not
if they
ours.
Say gluten-free, right? You're going to have spiking grain ingredients there, even though it's not gluten. It will spike your blood sugar and it will affect your waistline.
Is this like a big disc you're going to ship? What is?
No, it's a mix, Danny. But then it just has a little direction on the back to tell you what you can add. Things that are found in your cupboard anyway.
All it is egg whites and water.
And guess what?
Okay.
And a little bit of oil if you want to.
This thing is so delicious. But let me tell you, it's filled with protein. It's filled with fiber. This has psyllium seed husk in it and all this fiber stuff that your children would never know were in it. It's low in carbs so that you can actually put your cheese on top and not like destroy your waistline.
And protein, did you say that?
I said protein.
Because most of the time when you think about pizza, right, you have a little meat on the top. Well, most people have a little meat on their pizza. But it's not near enough to get the protein you need for a meal. And then because it's because of the crust. The crust is just white flour, devitalized stuff that actually ignites your blood sugar. But now in this crust, yes, we actually have good protein. Then you put your meat on top, then you've got a solid balance.
So you could have a pizza as like a balanced meal.
And you know
it's
what?
Like the first pizza.
It's got fiber in it. It's amazing. It's got micronutrients in it. It's got resistant starch in it, which is so great for your gut. Like the lupin flour is the first ingredient. That's a superfood.
But Serene, who cares, right, if it's difficult? I'm like the quintessential drive-thru Sue. And so a lot of like the from scratch pizza crust we've even put in our books.
Oh, they were difficult.
Still too much for me. But this I do because it's easy and it makes healthy pizza.
Because you're adding water and egg whites.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing.
Does it make a medium, large, or is it?
It's an individual crust.
Okay.
So, which is a big serving for a person like I like to.
The one bag makes one individual.
No, the one bag makes many individual.
So you
crusts.
Could make a big family.
Yeah,
one.
You can.
Nice.
Can you imagine? Let me just reinvent this for you. Most people like families. Pizza is it's like gathering around the fire. You gather around the pizza, right?
Yeah, you gather it. Yeah.
But guess what? It's gathering around family poison. Pizza destroys the health of families across
I know
the
it's
world.
Sad, and that sounds like we're big zealots, but it's
no,
just
it does.
The truth.
Pizza is like the worst thing as far as for health. It's like clogging white, devitalized crust with scheiss in it. And then you're going to have the drippy, ooey, gooey fat that can't be metabolized properly because of that white carb crust.
It's a bunch of scheiss and fat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now that's
like a Brit, but it's a shite in there.
So snip open a bag tonight, roll out a new world of pizza that is both practical yet pampering to your health needs. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
I'm Serene.
So, you know, some people, though, the only window they have in their day is that pre-breakfast window. It's the only one. They go to work or they have other things or for whatever reason, they just want to get it over and done with. You know, I find working out before breakfast really hard for me. I don't love it, but I've had to do it sometimes.
Because of the lack of food?
I mean, well, it's just to me, it's just like I don't really love jumping out of bed and jumping into my sneakers. It's
or
to me,
anything.
I like to get a breakfast in first and just to, you know, to just ground myself for the day and nurture myself into the day. But sometimes, you know, if you're flying out of town, or you know you're going to have a crazy weekend, a crazy week, you know there won't be any time later in the day. Sometimes you get it done early in the day.
Or people, they just have to.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I think if you just have to, though, unless you're in kind of already a regular schedule of that pre-breakfast workout window, I don't think you should do a long one like the 45-minute that Serene does, because you're going to have to get up so jolly early and you're missing your sleep. So I would keep it to half an hour less.
Okay, and how many times a week did I just miss it?
Oh, no. So I strength train
but
three times a week.
But you're talking to women. I mean, young guys.
If young guys. I'm talking about women. We have a completely different kind of makeup to men. And we, our bodies do not like physical stress. They do not like lack of food. They do not like too much exercise, but they need enough.
Yes.
So there's that fine line, you know.
What do you mean it doesn't like it? You mean it's not good for it? Or you mean we just
prefer literally,
not?
Like cold plunges, you know, a lot of intense workouts that men seem to thrive with.
Extremities.
They become a stress.
It raises
on
cortisol in
women. Yeah, which turns fat to the middle and kind of halts weight loss, halts progress, halts muscle building.
So women that get into overexertion, it can be like that double-edged sword where they
we've seen it
if
so
they're
many
premenopausal
times.
Women, sometimes they their hormones really get out of balance, their periods go wacky.
You could be a teenager and your periods go wacky. And
I mean, there's that sort of thing. And then if you're peri or postmenopausal, then your cortisol and insulin rises because of it, and you just can't lose weight. And so it can be like a total vicious circle.
So because of that, we don't exercise 7 days of the week. You know, we like to have rest days. I mean, personally, I do 4 lifting days a week. But then
you were doing 3 though.
Yes, but I changed it up because those 4 are not the same intensity. Yeah. I'll do 2 really intense ones and then 2 just middle of the road ones. And then the other days, they're just walking, and then I have a full Sunday rest where I just sit on my
bum. So I, you know, I mean, like, you can't, like, always be perfect, but I try to strength train 3 times a week, and my other days are just walking, and I find that perfect for me. Yeah.
This is The Poddy with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Hey, you're listening to The Poddy with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
Interesting. And there's no no conscious food. Like, you're not watching macros. You're not thinking of, like, how detailed do you get on the food?
Well, like we've had a whole protein potty nerd, you know, a nerd protein potty thing. So we're, if you're lifting or even if you're not, we feel like we've come to this place where, especially if you're at the point where you're perimenopause or whatever, you got to track your protein.
You've got to be a geek on protein.
But so just, we like 25 grams per meal. Yeah, that's what I do.
But you got to count an post-workout thing too. So you get four or five protein fuelings
I do.
A day.
That's a commitment to meat and or protein powder.
Yeah, I guess it is.
I mean,
but you know,
we
think about protein.
We do think about it like now geeks. More than we used to. But I don't track calories and I don't track fat grams. I just do my ES and crossover meals because that takes care of that for me.
Right. And if you're at goal weight and you're starting,
yeah,
you probably end up just doing crossovers once you start lifting. I just live at the crossover world and really all I care about is I geek out on my protein. And I just eat.
But crossovers are so great because they're so protective of your blood sugar. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, sometimes when people get into the macros world, I feel it can be kind of, for me, okay, it's just not for me. I know that the macros world where you track every single carb, fat, and protein, right, it does work for some people. But to me, it can promote kind of obsession with food and it takes away my food freedom. When you're weighing almost everything in your meal and you're putting it all in an app. I know some people thrive that way, but I certainly don't thrive
that way. I love to thrive
way.
By listening to my body. And some lifting days, my body tells me to eat like a horse.
Yeah.
Other lifting days, I can just eat my regular good crossovers. But so I just listen. And so I kind of know when my body's asking for more.
I sort of watch the mirror.
Yeah.
I mean, it may not be the right, best plan, no, but I'm always like,
And
what are
clothes.
We looking at? And I'm like, oh, I feel small. I feel thin. And I'll just like pound some oatmeal.
You are the cutest.
Thank you. I'll pound
and
some
by
oatmeal.
The cutest, she means you don't know what you're talking about.
And then I'll put, I will put our plant protein powder.
Oh, okay. Well, then you know what you're talking about.
Oatmeal, a pinch of
baobab. You didn't say the protein part to it.
I know.
So she thought you were cute and dumb.
Oh, by the way. I want to get the full serving of the 3 tablespoons.
Yeah.
But I find for a bowl of oatmeal, that's a lot. That's
okay,
a lot
so
of
Okay, so there's
scoopage.
Tricks. I'm going to tell you the tricks. Because some people don't like it when they cook it in with the oatmeal. Are you cooking it in or are you putting it on after?
No, I mix all my stuff in with the dry oatmeal. Salt.
And, yeah, and
do
then
the mineral
you cook
salt,
it.
Stevia.
Yeah.
And then I pour hot water onto it.
Oh, you're doing instant oatmeal trick.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a Dan way.
Yeah, life
okay.
Is short. What are you doing?
No, that's fine. And I think a lot of people will be fine with that. Some people don't like it cooked in. So I'll tell you this trick if you don't. Mix it with some almond milk and stevia in a little, like 3/4 of a cup.
Little bit. I actually do it in the bottom of my bowl. Little bit. So then you've got this nice, it's almost like a creamy
milk.
A creamy milk.
You make the milk first.
And
then
I pour my hot
oatmeal
into it.
I've been doing that lately and I think it's yummier.
Oh, I love it. That's how I do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But can I just go back to this whole anthem of this potty? I just love it. What you started out with, you know, do what you stink at.
Yeah.
I love it. And stink sometimes can be like maybe you stink at the emotional aspect of something too. Because, you know, Pearl, at first you said it wasn't just the physical aspect. I'm not actually good at lifting or I'm not actually built towards that idea. But you stunk at the emotion. You're like, I hate exercise.
Yeah.
You stunk at having any desire, any excitement.
You stunk at
anything.
The identity of it all.
Yeah. And so that's what I want to say too. Even if you just stink at the emotion of something, don't worry. Just start. Because my husband, too, you know, it's not that he's an ectomorph, but he's stunk at the emotion of exercise.
Yeah.
You know, he's just like, I just don't want to. I just don't feel the energy for
it. He'd never done
it
his whole life.
Yeah. He'd never done it as a hobby, right?
Yeah.
He worked hard and all that, but he'd never done exercise as a thing. Well, he just began one day.
Recently. How old is he? He's 44?
49.
No. He's 49. He started at 49.
Yeah, 48, probably.
Started at 48.
Maybe 48 and a half.
Okay.
And like with no emotion, he stunk at the emotion for it. Like I get into exercise, I think about it, I dream about it, and he was not that way. But he just began, and little by little, you know, it's like when your parent says, "Get out of that mood." You smile, start smiling, and the reason is because sometimes your mood will actually change and follow the smile. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just kind of got to fake it till you make it kind of thing. And that's what happened with Sam, and I've seen it happen with you, Pearl. You used to say, "I hate exercise," but I haven't heard you say, "I hate exercise" for a whole long time now.
Well, how could I hate it? Because look what it's done
to me. Yes, but my husband, he started at what he stunk at emotionally, and now he's the one sitting on the couch next to me looking up all of this exercise, you know, equipment, and then looking up the YouTubes on form, and he gets excited. He writes in his little log, and he's really excited about it, and he's got his cute little post-workout meals he's all into, and it's become his hobby and his passion, and he's emotionally charged in a positive way. So even if maybe you're designed to exercise, like you've got that mesomorph kind of body, but you just stink at the desire for it.
Yeah.
Do what you stink at. It's going to come.
And you know what else? The most gifted people are not often the most successful, because gifting can get you over the bar, and you can, like, as a kid, beat all the other kids who haven't put any work in, right? Who are just showing up to the playground. But as an adult, being gifted doesn't equal being at the top of the game. Being disciplined does, right, or being obsessed does. And so, as you know, when I'm not hosting here on the podcast, I'm an actor, right?
Right.
And I don't think that I'm the most talented actor. I'm definitely not the best looking actor. I've got a crooked nose. I can strike. I've got all these strikes against me, right? I'm not as practiced. I didn't go to Juilliard in New York. You know, my parents didn't send me to the schools and everything. But I'm super obsessed. And so if you can find something, maybe it's not the direct thing that you're gifted at, or it's not your superpower. It's not. But what is your thing? You are gifted at something.
Yeah.
And I'm gifted at being obsessive, which sounds negative. But when I point my obsession at something while people sleep, I'll be there at 2 a.m. learning a monologue.
Yeah.
You know, because again, I'm insecure enough to say, man, I don't feel the gifting here. I don't feel like I'm the best actor, but I can beat them with obsession for sure. I know nobody's going to be like neurotic about this. I'm going to be neurotic.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think when it comes to working out or your health goals, your body goals, whatever it is, you know, yeah, you're not the workout person. You don't like the resistance. It makes your little bicep hurt or whatever. But what is the thing that you're known for? What is the thing that, you know, nobody beats you at? You can take that and point that.
I love that.
Yes,
at the thing you're weak at. You know, and so now the first place doesn't come to the gifted ones.
Mm-hmm.
First place comes to, you know, you got to find a new reason why you're going to get it. So I start to feel this excitement about acting, because I'm like, oh, I can do that. I can't be the best actor, but I could be the most obsessive.
I love that, Danny. You know, it's kind of like the tortoise and the hare, right? And I think what I am a little more than most people about is researching.
Yes.
And so I think you've been more researched in exercise, but I found myself now looking up form. Like now my form when I do a goblet squat is great.
But Pearl,
I'm not going to hurt myself.
I want to talk about you.
About her.
Pearl's an incredibly gifted researcher. Mm-hmm. Getting to the nuts and bolts of the PubMed and what happens to the body. And so I see you, Pearl. You're always telling me another study that, you know, what happens to this group of people who have exercised for this amount of time. Mm-hmm. And she gets to know, you know, the medical side of it, and the response of it and everything in data form.
Yeah.
And that is what she's pointed towards exercise. And it gives her a whole bunch of petrol.
Now exercise is a research project to find out.
But that's what my love. But exercise is not the love. The research that I've done has made me love it.
The information has then catapulted her into the need for exercise.
Yes. And I think that's true. And I think my research showed me every day, it's in the back of my head, what happens to a body that loses its muscle. I don't do it out of fear, but it's jolly good concern.
It's great concern.
I always have it in the back of my head. If I don't feel like doing my strength training that day, yeah. I have the data. Yeah. I know what happens to a body. You die yeah. earlier. Yeah. You know, you get frail. Yeah. Hey, you are more resistant to disease. Your immune system goes down. You need muscle for your brain. Pearl, you lose your muscle, you lose your brain function. All of it just keeps going in my head. I'm like, put in my workout sneakers on and I'm upstairs.
Well, see, this is so interesting what Danny said. Point your superpower
so
at
good.
It.
I didn't know where he was going and then I got it.
That's what my husband has done. Like, I, for years, have just gotten my old Walmart sneakers with holes and put them on and just exercised, right?
Because yeah.
But my husband's pointed his superpowers about it, and he always loves, he's a builder.
Yeah.
And so he likes to build a scenario
yes.
around something. Yeah. So why is my gym wonderful, Danny? Because yeah. my husband started to love exercise now. And he's pointed a superpower. I have every equipment yeah, known yeah. to man.
He researches
and
the
he's
gear
got his special and, shoes. Yeah. He's got a special music pods for his
of course
ears.
Sam
he's got
does.
A special Tabata like numbering songs and he's got it all lined up.
This one's
and
just like
built.
It. Too, right
he's
here.
A builder. So he's built his atmosphere. He's
Let
built
me describe their gym. This one. This
I got
Serene
a tour.
Serene had a little rinky dink gym at the back of the house that was a schoolroom that, you know, she just put her stuff into. And but his love language is to give you things. But once he got into weight training,
yeah.
he has put an addition onto the house.
Did he get
the
obsessive?
The top of their house is now a 360 glass room, like three times as big as this. And it is stunning. It looks out onto their trees.
Is that
trees.
Where the workout room is?
Yes. It's the best room in the house. All the rest of the house stinks compared to this room.
We're doing
it's
a vlog.
It's like gutter home compared to this yes. room, which is like penthouse on top of the world. And of course, I love this superpower thing because that's exactly what Sam did.
He pointed his superpower
did.
Towards exercise. It's great. He didn't
did.
Have the motivation naturally. He pointed his superpower, which is
which
building and building an environment, an atmosphere that creates the
yeah.
the desire to do something.
Yes. And yeah. sorry to say your house is incredible.
No,
but
it's
compared
not finished.
To this room, I go up to that room and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Who would not want to be up here?
So ask yourself, what is your superpower? And point it towards the things that are good for you, the things that you, yeah, you know,
oh,
that
so
are going to change
good,
your life.
So good, Dan. It's your new book. Point your superpower.
I love it.
Yeah, it's called What If You Could. Available now on yeah. Amazon.
All right. See you guys.
Bye.
Nothing, Mama, my way. And then I'll be.